friend, I am very glad to welcome you here this morning to this conference. After the new sticks were sung, I think it is only for the first time that we are meeting in a state conference like this. And therefore, it is both important and significant. Of course, the importance of this conference will be judged by the deliberations that you will have and the decisions that you will reach in the course of the conference. I am indeed very happy to welcome particularly collectors of those new areas which came to the old Bombay state, and I give them a hearty welcome as a representative of the officers working in the areas in which the people have come for the first time and joined this new state. As you know, the new state has a very important role to play, not only in the lives of the people of this state, but if I may be permitted to say so, in the history of our nation also. You must have been aware of the very important features of our new state. It is the largest in the area, possibly second in population. I don't want to take that challenge. We'll be glad if we are second or third. But certainly, the matter of which we can take certainly reasonable pride is that we are the first state as far as our finances are concerned. From the production point of view, you know very well that in case of the commercial crops, we make a very substantial and important contribution to the agriculture economy of our country. But unfortunately, that can't be said in case of the food crop, which is perhaps the most essential. The deficit of our state is rather a debatable matter, because in the memorandum that we submitted to the Finance Commission, I just tried to check it up, it is pointed out that our deficit is the tune of 3 to 5 lakhs of tons per year. But when in the recent days, it was a mistake which has been corrected. But the recent calculations that we tried to make when we tried to meet the food committee, agriculture committee, our real deficit came to the tune of 10 to 12 lakhs of tons, which is really speaking very real and a very alarming deficit. I am trying to point out the important features of our economy, because it is these features that will probably determine our functions and our duties. With this background in mind, possibly we will have to set ourselves to the duties that are before us. Well, coming back to the conference, as you are all aware, a conference like this has a double purpose, has two objectives, if I may say so. First is naturally to have personal contacts between the people who are working at the headquarters, the ministers, the secretaries, the deputy secretaries on one side, and the officers in the field, the collectors, the divisional officers and others. A conference like therefore is a very important forum which affords an opportunity to exchange our views and experiences and compare our notes, which is very essential for running an administration like this. But the other important objective of such a conference also is to take a review of the broad objectives before the administration, and also consider and examine the general issues of policy, which are apt to be forgotten in the fever excitement of a daily routine. Therefore, it could be permissible on my part if I say something about the general objective. It is not the first time that I am going to say it all for myself. Possibly it has been said on many platforms and in many conferences by many men, particularly leaders of our country, including our Prime Minister. As you know, that we are a democratic state. But now that has become rather a very hectic term. Even while we were striving very hard for our independence struggle, it was not enough, we found, that we utter merely the word of Swaraj. We wanted to know, in the course of the history of the struggle, to know exactly what we meant by Swaraj. What was exactly the content of Swaraj? So when we say that we are a democratic administration, it is not enough for us to say, because also we'll have to define what exactly we mean by democracy. And then one more expression came in the use of politicians, and that also was later on accepted by the administration, the term namely the welfare state. Then came the days of planning, and now we accepted the objective for state and society, the object of socialistic pattern. I think it is necessary to understand the significance of all these phrases. It is essential. Why I am mentioning all these questions here? Because it is essential that these objectives are not only the objectives of a political party or of any political party. When these objectives came to be accepted by the administration as a subjective, it is necessary that the band of officers, the team of officers, which is supposed to implement and reach these objectives, also should know the real significance of these objectives. And in a short time, I would like to make references to some of the ideas. The word socialistic pattern is considered by many people, or rather a very loose term, particularly by those who have tried to study socialism in its entirety, because socialism also has come to be understood as a sort of a scientific term. There is a branch of socialism which claims itself to be the scientific socialism. But even this loose term has come to denote and connote very definite meaning in the context of our country, particularly the conditions of our country. And summing up all those discussions and points which has been accepted on all hands, we can very safely say that there are three or four very important features of this idea of socialistic pattern. First is that every economic activity, or I should say every activity in a socialistic society, or a society whose pattern is socialistic, the motive force is not the private gain, private profit, but the social gain. That's a very important objective. The second objective, or the second feature of this socialist pattern society, is that there should be minimum inequalities or no inequalities which can be expressed. In other phrase which has been used for a long time in this context, which can also be taken as a third feature of the idea, is that this every member of the society should have an opportunity to make progress, which is normally summed up in the phrase of equality of opportunity. All these social objectives have been accepted by the state as its own objective. And therefore, that is also an important part of the idea of the social thing pattern. It is not something to be done by somebody according to their convenience, but now it has been accepted by the state as its own specific duty to be attained. It's possible within a specific period according to a space program. And that is where the place of the planning comes in. When I am using the term place, I do not want to take the second 5-year plan in its entirety. Particularly, I would like to emphasize only a part of it here. Because when we are considering this question in a conference like this, where collectives are particularly concerned and where the state is particularly concerned, I want to take a particular part of it. Namely, the subject with which the states are directly concerned. Now it has been admitted and realized in a very recent time, at a very heavy cost, if I may say so, that the place of the agricultural development is not only important but is rather basic in any planned development in our country. Without the agricultural development, the economic development in our country has no meaning. For any effort to achieve any economic development in the country without taking the agriculture development at its base is bound to fail. And I think the present crisis, if I may call it a crisis, is mainly because of this. We have a very, I should say, important objective before us in the plan. But suddenly we found this year that no plan can go ahead uninterrupted unless we try to solve the question of our agricultural production. And here I must say, the states also have to take their own share of blame. The states also have to take their own responsibility. It is here that we have to sit down quietly and think what we have done so far, whether really have we done exactly what we should have done, if we have failed, why we have failed, and we'll have to consider what ways and means we'll have to find to remedy this fault. I would consider that when you are meeting here, and particularly when you will be meeting the agriculture minister and the agriculture secretary, you will consider these questions more seriously. I am not aware whether you have included any subject you have. But even if you had not, I would say it doesn't matter even if you stay a day longer and sit down with them and find out how we can energetically pursue our program of agriculture production. Because if we succeed in everything else, and if we don't succeed in this, possibly we will not succeed at all. And I have come to feel, and I have given a public expression to that thought also sometimes, that conventionally some other departments have come to be considered very important. Normally the officers which are held by senior officers are considered very important. A very superstitious importance is given to the departments like political and services and home department. But looking to the conditions that prevail in the context of things in the country today, according to me, the priority of departments goes like this. Agriculture first, education second, and cooperation third. Possibly home department comes the last. That is what should be. That is what should be. Unfortunately, that has not come so far. But by, you know, practice and our activities, we will try to give these proper places to the departments by our own interest in those departments. Well, I have mentioned some of the important objectives so that we can keep them in our view. It is ultimately these objectives which are our destination will ultimately lay down our course to them. And that is why I mentioned them, because you will have to constantly keep them in mind. Whenever you think of any problems before you in your district, and whenever you are in doubt, it is much better. I have always believed in one thing. Whenever in doubt, think of fundamentals. That's the best thing in life. So if you keep these fundamentals in view, possibly that will be your best guide. Whenever you feel like disappointed, whenever you feel yourself like in doubt, this faith in these fundamentals will ultimately get you out. I have some other things to mention also. While speaking about the agricultural production, I had one other point in my mind. And the experience that I find, particularly in the districts, that the agricultural services, particularly the agricultural officers, do not play their proper role in the district administration, in the general effort of the developmental activities in the district administration. I don't know where the fault lies. Maybe there may be some faults in the agricultural officers themselves. I was told the one reason for their being so that they are not first grade officers. Possibly that also will have to be examined. But also there may be another reason, and that is why I am trying to mention it before you. And that is, if the collectors want to give them real importance and make them feel that they are very important officers in the planned activity, economic activity of the district, certainly they will get their own place. But I am afraid the collectors themselves feel that the agriculture officers are still backbenchers. They are not. They should not be. We should so create an atmosphere in the district meeting, in the day-to-day dealings with those officers, that the agriculture officers themselves must feel important. And unless they feel important, I am sure they will not be able to do what they are expected to do. This was one thing which I had in my mind long time, and I was waiting for this conference success. I hope you will please take note of this and please give that sort of incentive to the agriculture officers so that they will be able to play their proper role. Other thing that I would like to mention to you, when I am dealing about the general objectives, it much better that we, as far as the planned activities concerned, I have told you what was important. But in the general administration also, it is much better that we lay down certain criteria. This is not said for the first time. I think it has been said many times in the collectors conferences in our state and in other conferences all over the country, that what should be the final test of a successful administration. We talk of integrity and efficiency, but these terms are very difficult to define. Integrity and efficiency are always comparative terms. They possibly will vary from place to place. But one criterion that I can see, which I have also once mentioned in a conference of a divisional officer, in one division of the officer, namely, that whatever we do, it is not enough that we do good to the people. I am sure we mean good to the people and we are trying our best to do good to the people. I have no doubt about it. When I am mentioning this, please don't suppose that I am not aware of the hard work that you are putting in. I know collectors are perhaps the most hard work officers in the state. I have no doubt about that. But it is not enough that we do good to the people. It is necessary that the people must feel that good is being done to them. And therefore, ultimate criterion, ultimate test of a efficient administration, of a good administration, is the satisfaction of the people. Of course, certainly somebody will ask me a counter question for which I will have no answer, immediate answer. What is the measure of feeling the success, the satisfaction of the people? Well, that will depend how you look at it. If you only take that, if they don't come in larger complaints to you, yes, you can take it. That's also one of the measures of assessing whether the people are satisfied or not. You can find your own measure of assessment for this thing. But I have no doubt that the final test that will have to be applied to the administration is the satisfaction of the people. When collectors go around, I don't know in how many cases people come to them very frankly and tell them. In some cases they come to them also. In many cases I have found, while being on tour, some people come to me and tell certain things, and when I ask collectors about it, they would come forward and say, "Well, sir, the man never cared to come to me and ask. I would have certainly explained this matter and satisfied him. Possibly that would have been so." But the fact remains that the man never cared to go to the collector. I would suggest to you that while you are on tours of inspection, also you should make it a point and let the people know that they can, in any number, can come and explain to you or air their difficulties to you, air their grievances to you. If you do that, then possibly you yourself will realize what is the measure of assessing the success, satisfaction of the people. I would like to keep this very important thing in your mind as a measure on which you will try to judge yourself. While on the agricultural production side, I have certainly to make a mention about this present difficult position about the food that we are facing in our state. Well, the food policy of the India is in the process of being formulated. There is some food policy now, but the government of India has chosen to appoint a committee, which committee is going from state to state. They are taking evidence, meeting people, those who know about it, meeting the representatives of the administration, and possibly they will produce results in the form of a report in a couple of months to come. But one thing is certain, as far as we are concerned, that we are in a very difficult space. Unless perhaps this season comes out very well, possibly God may help us and we will not have that difficult to see meat. But I am, if I may use that term, a warning to you. Please keep ready for any hard things that we'll have to face. We'll have to create a sort of confidence amongst people. See if there are any distress, how we can remove that distress. Even now I still go on receiving complaints about the number of fair price shops, about the working of fair price shops, about the supply of food grains to the fair price shops. I mean, in the limited scope in which we are trying to supply the food grain, we must see that we meet the demands of the people as far as possible. We should not give any scope to the people feeling that there was food grain available in the stocks in the godowns, but it was not made available in the form of fair price shops. You better take a note of this very important problem that we'll have to face in the course of a few months to come. Here also, I have to mention other important things, and that is immediately after the reorganization, we have to solve many difficult problems, which can be termed as a sort of a transitional problems of reorganization. Some of them are the problems like integration of services, integration of records and procedures and laws and policies. Well, the first effort is very important, no doubt, namely the integration of services, which is nearing completion. The others also in the process of being formulated. I know it's going to be a rather difficult job, but we'll have to apply our mind to it and find out a solution for them also. But what matters is not the particular difficulties that will come from time to time. What matters or what is important is the attitude with which we try to solve them. Wherever I had gone, whenever I had gone to these new areas, I always tried to make it a point to explain to the officer and to the people that we are not approaching to the questions of these integrations with the preconceived notions of imposing one particular pattern which prevailed only in the old Bombay state on these areas. But anyhow, we have not yet been able to remove that notion from the minds of many officers, both in the old Bombay and the new Bombay, if I may make that distinguishing term, use of. But it is something. Chief Secretary told me about an incident that happened in Saurashtra. One co-ops officer was appointed in Saurashtra from old Bombay area, went there with a consciousness of a mission. He says he has a mission, and what is that mission? To introduce the heavenly cooperative system of old Bombay into Saurashtra. Some of the adjectives are not mine, are mine, not his. I'm sure, I mean, it must have hurt and hurt very badly. The Saurashtra people, the Saurashtra officer, and everybody in Saurashtra. Certainly, if I had been Saurashtrian, I would have taken an insult at this. Because that is not the approach. Our idea is to take the best from every administration and thus evolve a uniform and a homogeneous administrative system. That is our ideal, that is our attitude. And it is with this attitude that we should try to solve the question. I would request all the officers, therefore, to stop thinking in terms of the old Bombay and the new Bombay. If services have these things in their minds, I'm sure they would probably create a difficulty which will be insurmountable. Now, all of us belong to a state which is ours. Every one of us have a very positive duty towards it. And here I am again taking opportunity to give expression to one very important thing that I was bearing in my mind for so long. Namely, what will be the duty of the officers towards the new state, the idea of new state? I have heard many stories. You will permit me my frankness. Mentioning about many officers, but I have refused to believe in them, in these stories. I have stubbornly refused to believe in this thing because I have faith in the high sense of duty of the officer. But I thought it also my duty to make a mention of it in a general way, that in their private talks and discussions, some views are being expressed which are detrimental to the future of the state. One may not like this form of state, other form of state. If you have any ideas about this formation of state, certainly you have the opportunity to give your vote when you voted in the last general election. You will have your own opportunities to express them in the general election that will come. That is your own right, no doubt about it. But as an officer, I will certainly express on the basis of loyalty that you will have both mental, intellectual support to this new idea of state. If anybody doesn't do that, I will have no doubt that personally I will consider this an act of disloyalty. If you have that idea, I am sure that idea will spread amongst the officers who are subordinate to you. I need not repeat the importance of the office of the collector. Collectors are very important of officers. If I am asked what they are in the machine of the state administration, possibly I would call them the kingpin of the state administration. They are not only the ears and eyes of state, they are both hands of the state, not only right or left. If these both hands refuse to work or work in a wrong way, if the both eyes refuse to see or see in a wrong way, if both the ears refuse to hear or hear in a wrong way, the future is quite dimmer for the state. And therefore, I will request you. I am making only general way because I have nobody particular in my view. But I would certainly request you, for yourself and for the officers subordinate to you, to create that atmosphere which will be very essential for the healthy working of this new state. I have certain specific questions also to mention. Particularly his relations with the public and relations with the representatives of the people. Of course, we have a training of the last 10 years, if not 20 years, of dealing with the representatives of the people, those who are elected in the Bombay Legislative Assembly or the Legislative Council, or representing the people in the local authorities. The secondly, the relationship with the public. I must say that generally the behavior of the collectors with the both this representative of the public and the representative people are good. But even then I still continue to get complaints about some collector having not behaved well with some representative people. In one case, I know that that was the practice of the collector not to see anybody at home. That's a good practice. I would certainly encourage that practice. But one of the MLAs never knew that that was the practice. Of course, the collector had put that information in a form of notice in his own office. But even then, the MLA felt that he must go and see the collector on some urgent work. And the MLA was told off that he can't be able to see the collector at home. Certainly, he could have been told in a better way. The MLA certainly chose to write to me in a complaining manner. I had a talk with him and tried to convince him, pointing out his own mistake. And even then, I am making mention of this particular incident because there were the other incidents which may not have been complained about to me. That a representative of people has reason to make a complaint like this against a collector only shows that there is scope for improvement in this matter also. That's why in the beginning I have said that generally the relations between the collectors and MLAs are good. But when we find that there is some scope for improvement even in this field, it is much better that we think of having some sort of a system evolved for this also. I don't want to lay down any rules for all the districts from the secretariat. It is much better if you evolve a system of your own for your own district. It may vary from man to man. Possibly one collector can, after he transfer, change it. That may suit his own purposes. But I would suggest that if you at least once in a 2 months meet MLAs only in a meeting, that would be good for the MLAs, that would be good for you also. I know that many MLAs come for different meetings and you feel that you have seen them, but I have information that they never feel that they have seen you. Meeting in a committee which is called for specific agenda and specific subjects doesn't encourage them to give their individual complaints or grievances or express their own views on a particular matter which they choose to express to you. About the relationship with the public, I am still feeling that there is still much scope for improvement in this matter. I know the collectors personally are taking keen interest in this matter. Personally, they try to do most what they can do. But that can't be said about the offices subordinate to him. And the explanation is that they try to tell them but things are not improved. I would suggest that you should try to take that responsibility on your own shoulder. Even now, how scores of complaints coming to me from Mamladar secretary offices, that public is very shabbily treated. Once or twice I had complaints both in the old Bombay and the new Bombay area, that as the arrangements are not made for the sitting for the members of public, the people were hushed out of the kachari by chaprasis or sobdas, and they were asked to leave the compound of Mamladar kachari. I was really ashamed when I heard this. And when we are talking of democracy and socialistic pattern and welfare state, if the member of public is treated so shabbily, even in 1956 or 57, is a matter of great concern to all of us. I would therefore request you, see how we can still improve and find out ways to convince your subordinates that it is also their duty to treat them well. I know that some Mamladars also are doing well. It would be rather very unfair if I take the class of Mamladars as a whole and condemn them this way. But they have also failed. In their absence, the Mamladar Kachari is a place worth seeing. And that brings me to the question of the inspections and supervisories. I would certainly request you sometime, without giving intimation to anybody that you are going, better quietly go as a member of public and see how your Mamladar Kachari functions. That will be a great lesson for you, and if you learn the lesson, that will be a good lesson for government also. The surprise visits and inspections is a very important instrument. If we use it with a view to improve people, I know there is an attitude among some of the officers which is rather human attitude, which they call it human. I don't want you to go and surprise it and punish anybody. At the first instance, don't punish also. But try to point out that somebody is finding out his difficulty, somebody is watching him. And if you find it the second time at least that he is repeating such things, then you must not hesitate to punish, and punish severely also if necessary. But protecting, this attitude of protecting mutually each other is a matter which will ultimately leading us, all of us, to a disaster. Because with this question is also the question, is connected the question of delay and corruption. I try to refer to some of the speeches delivered before my predecessor and his predecessor in the conferences like this. And I found consistently they have made a mention to these two things, delays and corruption. Corruption is still a rather comprehensive matter, I will deal with it later. But delays is a matter which certainly will have to be taken first. Delays in all matters. Delays involving the time of months and in some cases years. How can we remove this major difficulty in our administration? Well, I don't know whether any foolproof method can be found for it. There are some suggested by some officers, which also need to be examined carefully. But it is not only a sort of a system that will help us to remove delays. We should find out a system. I am not against finding out a system. But what is more important is a creating an attitude in the minds of those who deal with these papers at different levels, to dispose them out quickly, not only dispose them in an inverted comma, trying to just find out one query and trying to put it on its next table, but with a view to meet the point that is involved in the correspondence and decide it one way or the other. It it is this attitude of constant vigilance that is going to help us in this matter. As a matter of great concern for all of us, particularly these delays, I think the delays are not only at the collector's level. They are both at collector's level, the division officer's level, at the level of the heads of departments, and also at the secretariat level. I do not want to simply single out the collectors for this share of blame, but we will certainly have to look into that. The delays at the collector's level and the offices subordinate to collector's offices is a matter of great concern, because it directly deals with the public and it creates a large amount of irritation in the minds of public. And therefore, it will be much better if you try to find out how you can remove the delays at the village level and the taluka level. I will put the priority that way. I on my side will take the responsibility of trying to remove the delays at the secretariat level. If there are delays at the secretariat level, I will have to take the responsibility of it and feel guilty for it. But I will request you as collector to see that how you can remove the delays at the village level and the mamlatdar level. This small matters of getting the copies of records is still a matter, I should say, it's the eternal problem whether we'll be able to find out a solution for it or no. That rather creates a sense of despair in my mind. But we have not come here to express our despair to each other. We have come here to meet and find out in a determined manner solutions to our problem. I'm just mentioning this question of copies of record of price. But there are many questions, many other problems which create a very irritating mental condition in the minds of people. 101 things you might have done well to them, but you create a feeling of irritation about such small but very important matters. All good that you have done comes to be wasted. The question of corruption. Well, it's also a matter for which we'll have to be very careful and constantly vigilant. Government have recently issued certain orders. I'm sure if you try to pursue those orders in a manner in which it should be, I'm sure at least will create that atmosphere which will make the corruption at least impossible. Merely depending upon the police officers to detect the thing and then punish it is not a matter, or is not a way of stopping corruption. If every one of us takes responsibility to see that corruption is eradicated wherever we are working, I'm sure we'll have done much towards this, we'll have contributed much for the removal of this very important defect in our system. I do not want to go into details of this matter, because mere repetition of some of the things possibly sometimes tends to lose the significance of the question. Therefore, I'm speaking less about it, does not mean it is less important question. It is very, very important question. And I'm sure even if we succeed in building up our country on the lines in which the plan wants to do it, but if we don't succeed in removing these delays and corruption, we will never reach our objective. The first defect from which the administration will have to be made free is this corruption and these delays, because possibly they are interlinked with each other to a certain extent. I therefore request you to keep this thing also in your mind and try to find out ways and means and create that attitude in the district other officers, other district officers, and in the minds of the officers subordinate to you. Well, I am aware of one other problem which I would like to mention here, that when I am referring to the question of delays and corruption, I do not mean to say or do not want to give impression that I am unaware of the difficulties of the district administration. I think time has reached when the district machinery also will have to be overhauled. The machinery has remained the same practically, which it was before 20 years. But the new problems or the new tasks that the new administration has to face have changed themselves in such a proportion that it is necessary to find out a very fitting corresponding machinery at a district level and perhaps even at the taluka level. In some other states this question was examined, and we also have taken note of this question and trying to examine in what way we can find out a suitable apparatus which will be capable of efficiently dealing with the new problems and new tasks that the administration has to solve. I am only mentioning this because if you have anything to suggest about this, you better suggest them at a suitable time what your difficulties are, because it is necessary that government should know also your difficulties. Merely telling you that this should be done and this should not be done is not enough. We should also try to know. If you have anything to suggest about this, you better suggest them at a suitable time what your difficulties are, because it is necessary that government should know also your difficulties. Merely telling you that this should be done and this should not be done is not enough. We should also try to know what exactly are your difficulties when you want to reach a certain result. Well, there are one or two other things which I would like to mention and then I would have done. There are two, three specific questions which I thought is my duty to draw your attention to. One is the question of small savings. I'm sure you are aware of our plan responsibility. You also know the important place the public borrowing and the small savings had in our resources. It comes to nearly one third of our resources. And as you are aware, the Reserve Bank was not willing to allow any state to go in for public borrowing in the market, possibly only with the exception of Bombay and Mysore. As you know, for this year, our program for public borrowing was to the tune of 13 crores. But now that has been reduced at the instance of Government of India, and we are going only for the loan of 6 crores in the market. I think the necessary notification has already been issued. Well, I would like to request you to find out how you can help this drive for loan too. Nearly 10-12 days are open for you. Chief Secretary or the Finance Secretary must have written to you about it. You keep it in mind when you go back that you have to do something about it. But the story doesn't end there. Whatever we can't get through public borrowing, we'll have to get it through small savings. And that's a very important program that we have undertaken in our state. You must have seen the progress of the small savings of our state in the last 2 years. But from what we did in the first quarter, the things don't seem to be too bright. And therefore, it's my duty to draw your attention to this very important activity that we will have to undertake. The other particulars, I'm sure, will be explained to you when you discuss that question of small savings by the Secretary of State. But I am particularly making mention of this because possibly we'll have to go in for this campaign of small drinks on the war footing. Unless we try to do this, this program and objective that we have visualized only remain programs and objectives on paper. In order to bring them in the realm of reality, we'll have to find out resources. And a small scheming is a very important movement that way, which ultimately helps the investor and also the state. The second matter which I had in mind, which I also have mentioned while I was dealing with the questions of delays, was about this question of dealing with the pension paper. Particularly pension papers of the smaller men, services, chowkidars and small clerks, and other small people in the machinery. The accountant general showed me on cases which are pending from year 47, 10 years. I was always told that there is something wrong with the accountant general's office. That's why once I chose to discuss this matter with him, and he convinced me that the blame is not entirely there. There is something that we will have also to do. And I find either there is not qualified staff in the collector's officers to deal with this paper, or there is tendency in the offices to just put it off tomorrow. There are always urgent papers and immediate papers and calls from here and calls from there. There is something always to be attended to. And in that rush of matter, those who have to deal with those papers find it convenient to keep it aside. And they have been kept aside for years on end. I would consider this to be very unfair and unjust to those small people who have given their life to the services. And if they don't find that their pensions are not sanctioned even at the end of 10 years or 6 years or 2 years, even for 1 year, I would certainly think that they will feel a sense of frustration for which all of us will be responsible. I therefore would request you to keep this small matter in your mind. And when you go back to your offices, please try to take search of this pension paper and find out what you can do. And let us know if there are any difficulties, what difficulties are there, and how we can solve them. Well, I may go on multiplying such problems before you, but that is not the purpose of this address. I only mention few of them to you with a hope that you will certainly not only take a mental note of it, but put it on your daily program and try to see what you can do. Well, in conclusion, I will tell you that I take you as my comrades in a very important task that we have kept before us. It's not that one is officer and one is senior officer and one is subordinate officer. One is minister and the other is chief minister and somebody is officer. I'm not speaking in that spirit. Because we are all a team, and we have to achieve something very important. On assuming this office on 12th April, I have given one assurance to people which I would like to remind you of. I have told them that no effort will be spared to give them the cleanest, the most impartial and efficient administration. When I had given that assurance to them, I had in mind all of you. For myself, I would not have been able to give that assurance on my own strength, but I had faith in the services of this state. I am sure they are aware of the high heritage of this state, of high traditions in integrity and efficiency. But the high heritage is a matter of pride. Also, it is a matter of heavy responsibility. I am sure all of you have that high sense of responsibility, which will ultimately help you, help me, and help all of us to reach that great objective for us, the service of the people. Thank you very much.